In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from John, the 10th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a sheepfold. It's got walls all around and a front door, which is the only way in. It's the place where the sheep come in for food, for rest, for security after a long and hard day. It is the gathering place for the sheep. And when the shepherd comes in through the door, the sheep act just like little children whose father comes home from work. They run to the shepherd with love and affection. And the shepherd, well, he cares for them, of course. He's charged with looking after these sheep, grooming them, feeding them, and protecting them from all sorts of danger, including wolves and disease, and simply getting lost. The sheep, they recognize his voice, even while he's still far off at a distance. They hear him chatting with the doorkeeper. They know that wherever and whenever they hear the voice, there they will find their shepherd. The sheepfold is the holy Christian and apostolic church. It's the community of believers where the gospel is purely preached and the sacraments rightly administered. It's the gathering of all the saints around the voice of the shepherd and his gifts given to them. This is the place where you, O sheep, find rest, security, and protection. Where you are fed and nourished and promised a safe place to lay your head. This is a place where you can let down your guard, confess your sins, where you can admit your brokenness and your dysfunctional family and your repeated lusts, your hatred, your quick temper, your propensity to gossip or hold grudges, to envy, and to struggle with addictions. This is a place where you are not judged for doing these things. That is, you are not condemned, you who confess your sins, but you are freed from them by the blood of Jesus, your good shepherd. But how is it that you got here? How did the church become your sheepfold? And how do you know that you're one of the sheep that's supposed to be here? Well, did you come in through the front door, or did you try to hop over the back fence? Another question to ask is, are there other sheep here who haven't come in through the door? Sheep that think Christianity is all about morality, about striving to be a good person and thus earning God's favor. Or sheep that think that Christianity is one of many ways, many religion. But really, in the end, we all kind of just worship the same God. Or sheep that think Christianity is something I do and practice when I feel like it, when I'm not too busy, when I don't have something going that I want to do, when it's convenient for me, or something I do because my family has done this, friends have done this, community, Lingerwood has done this all their life, and I want to be accepted by and fit in to my community, with my friends, and in my family. But in our gospel reading for today, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. That means he is the entrance. Christianity is all about Jesus, returning here to him week after week to receive him in word and sacrament, and then living your life in Christ when you step foot out of those doors. Jesus is the way into the sheepfold, the way into peace and safety and salvation. He's the only way. So, if you want to be in the sheepfold and safely there, calling it your home, then you must come in through the front door. You must continually, regularly, and faithfully enter through Jesus and Him alone. The problem is that sheep, we love to wander. Sheep tend to do their own thing, don't they? They like their freedom. They follow their whims and they follow their desires. And in doing so, they easily get lost. And without a shepherd to tend them, they are lost for good. And they do not even know it. They are too blind and impassioned to see that they have wandered off into the dangerous world of wolves and poachers and disease. And in case you quite haven't figured it out yet, Jesus is not talking about sheep per se, the woolly animals. He is talking about you. The fact that you and I are so blind by and captivated by sin that we can't even follow 10. That's it. That's all we're talking about here. 10 commandments. If that seems too many, try this on for size. We can't even follow 2 commandments. You can't follow 2 simple commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. That's it. In fact, we are so ignorantly blind that we sit there and think, even as we're hearing this sermon, oh, it's not that bad. I've done pretty well, actually. No, you have not. You have failed miserably. For St. James says, anyone who stumbles at one of these commandments is guilty of breaking all of them. And without a shepherd, the sheep are as good as dead. Without Jesus, you are dead. And in today's reading, we find that there are both good shepherds and bad. But even the shepherds must also enter the sheepfold by the door. Even the shepherd, even the pastor, must too come in only through Jesus. He must continually return to Jesus, preach only ever Jesus, live his life in Jesus and him alone. And while the shepherd may change from time to time, the message does not. And so the voice of Jesus, the good shepherd, continually abides with you, his sheep, forever. So if a pastor comes through the door into the sheepfold, comes in through Christ, preaching Christ and him crucified and risen for your life and your salvation, then you have nothing to fear. Because the shepherd's voice, the pastor's voice, simply echoes the voice of Jesus, the good shepherd. But if a pastor tries to jump the back fence, tries to come in secretly and lure you away, tempting you to leave the sheepfold. That is, if a pastor tells you that your weekly church attendance doesn't really matter, your gossiping doesn't matter, your anger, your lust, your greed, your refusal to forgive, your laziness, your hurtful words, your refusal to pray for your family or even your enemy, doesn't matter. If he tells you your sin does not matter, If he tells you that there's a way into safety and peace and joy any other way than Jesus Christ and him crucified for you, then you don't have a pastor. You've got a thief. You've got a killer. You've got a destroyer. Do not listen to that sort of preacher. Do not listen to the preaching of salvation by your own works. If someone tells you that there's another way to be saved other than the cross, other than Jesus Christ crucified and risen, then turn and run. And run quickly. And make no mistake about it. These sorts of preachers and teachers will come in from time to time. They sneak in the back, trying to convince you that what Jesus did was good and fine, but there is more to be done for your salvation. They say salvation is by Christ. Sure, even by grace, absolutely. But you must earn that grace, and you must earn that salvation. You must prove yourself worthy of it. You must decide to follow Jesus by yourself, here and now. They may even say that all we do is worship the same God that everyone else does. So it really doesn't matter what you believe, but simply rather that you believe. And it doesn't matter what church, synagogue, mosque you go to, as long as you go to church. Do not listen. Anytime you hear of works righteousness, pluralism, or even apathy toward your sin, run. Run quickly away. For you know the truth, because he has set you free. You know the voice of Jesus, who calls to you in the midst of works righteousness, saying, "It is by grace you have been saved. That is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God." And you know the voice of Jesus, who says to you in the midst of pluralism, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there is salvation in no one else, for no other name is given under heaven among men by which we must be saved than Jesus Christ." And you know the voice of Jesus, who proclaims to you in the midst of apathy and laziness toward your sin, "Are we to continue in sin, that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? This is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. This is Jesus, who was dead and is alive again for you and for your salvation. He is the door of the sheep. He alone is the entrance to the sheepfold, the one holy Christian and apostolic church, the one true faith. He alone is the means of your salvation, the way of your safety and deliverance. He alone is the door by which you come in and go out freely, finding safe pasture. And he only comes in the way of the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying, rising for you, for your life, for your salvation. Bad shepherds, false preachers, hate this sort of Jesus. They hate the Jesus who excludes the other doors and the other ways. They hate the Jesus who builds up walls and establishes a set parameter and perimeter for the sheepfold. They hate the Jesus who demands salvation only by him and him alone. They hate the Jesus who takes salvation into his own hands, not letting you participate. And thus, these false preachers, these false shepherds, are bent on turning you away from Christ. They will try to empower you, to get you to trust yourself, thinking oh so highly of yourself and what you can do, that you no longer need to go in or out by the true door. But that is not the voice of him who called you by name. That is not the voice of him who washed you in his holy waters of baptism. That is not the voice of him who marked you with a cross on your forehead and on your heart and now promises to feed and nourish you by his own body and his own blood. That is not the door unto everlasting salvation and everlasting life with your everlasting God. The door is Jesus. And you have entered this sheepfold, this church, through him. You have died and risen with him in holy baptism. And in this sheepfold, in this church, he continually, he regularly, he weekly shepherds you, absolves you, feeds you, nourishes you so that you may dwell safely and securely in him and him alone. So while you are here, while you are in this holy Christian and apostolic church, this sheepfold, rejoice! For Christ, who is the door, has said, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Your abundant life, saints of the living God, is marked by great joy, even in the face of great suffering. For this life promised to us is free of wolves, diseases, and dysfunctional families. It is a life without divorce or separation, without death or sadness. The abundant life is a life that cannot end in death. For alleluia, Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of Jesus, amen.